Well, beloved, last Sunday was Father's Day. And last month we celebrated Mother's Day. And those are holidays, days set aside to specifically honor our parents. But what does it really mean to honor our fathers and our mothers? A card? Maybe some flowers? Dinner out? Maybe a small gift? What does it mean for adults who are no longer under the care of their parents? How do we or should we honor parents who are ungodly or abusive or maybe even ones who are never around? Maybe they've left for no good reason and with no good answer. And why should we honor them in the first place? Does honor mean the same as obey? Honor your father and your mother. This command tells every child of human parents that their moral duty within the family is to honor those people who gave them a place in the land of the living. And from this commandment, we see that whatever else a person may feel about them, no matter how deep in love we are with our parents, no matter how great the anger, whether we're grateful, whether we're resentful, we are called to respect those who not only gave us existence, but were given to be our primary teachers and guides through life. From the day a child is born to the day the parents die, and even after the parents die, everything in their relationship may change except the moral duty to honor. No child, young or old, should ever dishonor their parents. But what does it really mean to give your parents honor? To live up to that fifth commandment. So today we're going to take a look at this commandment, what it actually requires, why it was given, and finally, how can this be obeyed considering all the complexities and conflicts in life? So let's begin with what the command requires. But to actually get a feel for just what this commandment says, we need to take a look at what it doesn't say. First, honor your father and mother ignores the warm affection that all parents want from their children. It doesn't tell children to be happy about their parents. It doesn't tell us that we need to be like being with our parents or on family outings or that we need to enjoy having them over for dinner. Nowhere does it encourage or even mention happy emotional relationships. All it commands is honor. Another thing that this commandment doesn't tell parents is to honor their children. The child's right to respect is nowhere in view here. And we may agree that children deserve some sort of honor because by virtue of being precious human beings, created in the image of God. But this commandment's not about that. It's not about our worth as individuals. Honor is concerned with family structure and the role parents play as teachers and leaders in families. I think the ancient Hebrew word for honor is very important. It literally translates to weightiness. And it simply means to honor is to have great respect for someone. That they carry a great deal of weight in your life. That you have let them have influence over you and dignity, and most importantly, authority over your life. Now, this command for honoring parents may come more or less naturally to the Hebrew children because they were raised in the patriarchal system and where the family centered on the oldest male child. And in that system, children were not a nuisance or an emotional luxury. No, they were a link between God's covenant with the past and his salvation of the future. But even though honor was such an important part of life back then, the Old Testament writers, my friends, could spot outrageous acts. And it was possibly easier for them to define what honor really was. And they had no mercy on those who dishonored their parents. If you go to Exodus 21, they hand down some really harsh punishments for people who dishonored their parents. Exodus 21 verse 15 says, "Whoever strikes his father or mother shall be put to death." And verse 17 goes on and says, "Whoever curses his father or mother shall also be put to death." But what does honor really boil down to? Well, honor was a willingness, at least, to listen to the voice of your parents. Those people whom God gave to be your teachers and your guidances. For Israel, the family, my friends, was a place where a person learned who he or she was and what God expected of them. And in the family, the father was the designated spokesman. Spokesman for what? What channel to watch on TV? Where we're going on vacation? No. Listen to what Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says. "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." And Psalm 78:5 says, "The Lord decreed statutes for Jacob to establish the law for Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children." It was the father's role to teach his children the way of the Lord, and the children was to listen. And the way a child showed respect for his father was by listening with in mind bent toward believing and obeying. And the honor the child gave was wrapped up mostly in respect for the father's role in the family. And again, we're not necessarily talking about obedience. We're talking about respect for roles and positions within the family structure. And I can just picture young Jesus sitting and listening and learning from Joseph and Mary. And in our gospel story, when Joseph and Mary finally found Jesus in the temple, I don't believe his question to them, "Why were you searching for me?" was being disobedient to them or being rude to them. I believe it was Jesus saying, "You taught me well. And now I'm reflecting that teaching and showing my maturity. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" And the child honored the parents long after the parents grew weak. And the children grew strong. The parents were to be kept at the center stage of family affairs in their cultures. And they always stood for God before the child. And they never lost their dignity as caretakers and teachers. And that brings me to my next question. Why should children honor their parents? Well, first, let's take note that we're not asking what a parent needs to do to earn the right to honor. Parents have the right to honor simply because they conceived and brought a child into this world and are tasked with caring for the child. But why? Authority. Now, authority is generally found to be in bad graces today, I find, because it plays on our fears of being manipulated into someone else's control. And what we have in our world today, and I have to say that this is also true in secular homes and in some Christian homes, this loss of parental authority. And it's because life has changed so drastically. The Carnegie Council on the Family took a long look at the crisis of the modern family. And they decided that we should just call it quits on the family as being the center of moral and spiritual nurture. Instead, They tell us that we should settle for just letting the family be a haven for emotional warmth. In a related report called All Our Children, Kenneth Kensington of the council said, the old-fashioned self-sufficient family where parents are relied on to teach their kids the most important things in life is a myth. According to the report, our world has become so complex that parents simply are not competent to prepare their children for taking place in today's society. And Christians have bought into this too. So many today shuffle their children around from expert to expert, and now the chief business of parents sometimes is to provide emotional support, and most of the time that's nothing more than just trying to appease their children. Letting them build their lives on anything but a biblical foundation. And sadly, my friends, many Christian parents have no authority of their own because they have no strong biblical foundation of their own. But parents can't give up authority without robbing their children, and sadly, society, of strengths that neither one of them can do without. Because the first thing a child loses in a home without authority is a strong sense of his or her own identity. We become strong individuals when we spend our childhood in strong families. One that will not just mouth something they've heard, but teach by example as well as by word. The fact that suicide is now the third most common cause of adolescent deaths in the U.S. is very troubling. And I submit it's at least partly related to the loss of authority and structure in homes. And another thing, the loss of authority within the family will affect a child's ability to live with authority later in life as they reach adulthood. Parents who give strong and directed leadership teach their children to live and to recognize authority. And to understand this whole concept of authority, we need to see exactly what this means. Where does it come from? We experience authority all the time, don't we? When a policeman stops traffic for whatever reason, when a boss says we need to increase production by 10%, or when a sergeant says, forward, halt. Boy, I miss saying that. Authority is someone's assumption that he or she has the power and the right to lead us and to tell us what to do or what to think. Authority is the legitimate power to prevail over other people's will. But what gives any person the right to use power of any kind over another person? I hear Christian parents sometimes ask this question. Do I have the right to make my kids do something they really don't want to do? Friends, I would submit from a biblical viewpoint, you've been given not only the right, but the obligation. And that authority comes from God. For a child to learn to honor his or her parents is to learn to respect that authority. The moral authority that God has given to those parents. But parents have a calling too. Not just to feed and clothe their kids or to protect them from the hardships of life. Those are all very important aspects of being parents. Parents are called to share with them their deepest beliefs about God and his will for humans and for the family. And it's the fulfillment of this right that makes them worthy of respect. Children will have a difficult time respecting a parent who hasn't lived a life worthy of honor. So allow me to share with you three ways that parents can earn the respect of their children. First, by our faithfulness. Parents need to remember that children will respect a life that is lived faithfully. Children long to see their parents living with their best interests at heart. When a child grows, that mom and dad knows that mom and dad really cares about them and what happens to them they respond to that display of love. But let's face it, there's a lot of parents out there today that want their kids to do right because it makes them look better. Their primary concern is, well, what will my friends think if, especially our friends in the church. Others are devastated when their children start to turn out differently than they'd planned. You all know I have these boisms, and that's one of them. A plan is something to deviate from. What happens when you see your child not going down the path that you had thought they would take? A parent's duty to their children is to love them unconditionally and faithfully place their needs ahead of your own. Kids will respond to that kind of love. And by the way, faithfulness in the Lord goes a long way with kids too. When we live as though the Lord and His work and His worship and His house are optional, our kids will pick up on that. Don't expect them to be faithful, dedicated Christians and disciples when we're not ones ourselves. I guess that what we do speaks so loudly our kids can't hear what we're saying. By our fairness, we earn respect by being fair, and that is, we're firm in what we say, but we're tempted in our actions by love. This brings to mind two methods of child rearing that need to be mentioned. Discipline. You know, there are parents out there who believe that the answer to every infraction is a beating. That's true. But the other side of that is liberty. There are others that feel their children can do as they please. Oh, they may not like what their kids are doing, and there may be a lot of yelling and threatening and pleading, but there's never any discipline in the picture. And these two methods, I understand, represent extremes. Our duty, my friends, in fairness to our children, is to find a happy medium. There are times when we must discipline, and then there's times when we need to allow our kids a little growing room. Our job as disciples charged with being like Jesus is to find that place where they can be themselves and still learn that God has a plan for their lives as they grow into disciples too. You know, it's too bad kids don't come with an owner's manual. Someone should say amen at that. I wondered that myself as a parent of a young child many, many years ago. Our fruitfulness. Parents earn respect from their children when they can see their parents investing in the lives of their children. When we give them love and time and patience and encouragement and hope, they will respond with respect and love of their own. Our Lord modeled these characteristics too in the way He dealt with His disciples and those who came to Him seeking answers or wholeness or healing. There was a little boy who expressed great concern about his parents. He told of how his father worked hard to provide for all of his needs, how his mother slaved around the house, cooking and cleaning up after him, taking care of him when he was sick. When asked what he had to be worried about, he said, "I'm afraid they might try to escape." Friends, let's give thanks to God for parents who invest their lives into those of their children. Amen. Amen. Children have much to be thankful for in their parents. We really do. However, oftentimes many of us are too mature or too self-centered to see it. Yet someday we may or probably will. Sometimes when it's too late. So let's finish up. How do we honor parents in the conflicts of life? Our moral responsibility is to find the right way to honor our parents within the reality of the conflicts we deal with. And the heart of this reality falls back on the context of the original commandments of God. those commandments given to? The Egyptians who served many gods? To the Canaanites? No, they were given to God's people, those who were called to follow his leading and his direction, those who had a relationship with God. And it was all based on respect. Respect for authority. Authority that was given by God to the people who were brought into this world and brought people into this world and were charged with bringing that person up in the ways of the Lord. And honor was given to those who carried out this task, and it was something that God expected of everyone. And I think the key to this commandment is not in strict obedience to the demands of those with authority over us just for the sake of obedience. It's a respect for God's design for the family structure. And we'll not always be under the care of our parents. Many of us aren't. And we have choices to make that sometimes are going to go against the will or advice of our parents. And I'm sure as I say that, many of you are thinking of some situation in your life where that happened. But honor, my friends, honor is the respect we give to our parents because they were given the responsibility of being our teacher and our guide. It's the respect for God's order for the family. You know, as I look back over the years of my life, I thank God for my parents. I sometimes wonder how they survived, all eight of us. But I do. I thank God for the life raising that they give me, for the lessons they taught me. For the freedom they gave me to explore. And the discipline they gave me when I needed it. What I am today is the product of the investment they made then in my life. And the same stands true for each of you today. We may not always agree with them. We may not always understand them. But they are our parents. And as such, they deserve all the love and respect and honor that we can possibly give to them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.